always a blessing, and every night we'll be able to have a type of presentation. And now, does this mean on Wednesday I can be able to show Africa? All right, okay, well, good. I want to make sure we get to show Africa and be able to get that. And you know, since I'm the Africa director, I'd like to be able to at least show Africa sometime. Amen. And praise the Lord. All right, if you want to open your Bibles to the book of John, John chapter 11. I appreciate at least one person remembered what was preached this morning. Amen. Good. Praise the Lord. And I know his wife prompted him and probably wrote it out for him so he can remember, but praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, there you go. She's got the notes. There we go. Oh. And it also is encouragement for all of you that came back knowing that I was speaking tonight. Now, that's a blessing also. I appreciate you doing that also. And that's encouragement to the speaker. All right, John chapter 11. Let's all stand as we read now a portion of God's Word, as we look at exactly what God has for us now this evening. John chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse number 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always." Isn't that special? God hears us always. "But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him, and let him go." Tonight I would like to make the emphasis on the phrase there in verse number 39. Take ye away the stone. Now, Jesus, knowing what he was going to do, why did he give that command? It's an odd command for him to be able to give at such a time and in such a place. And what application could we make possibly from that for a mission conference time? Some questions will be answered here in just a few minutes as we look now on the challenge for us to remove the stone. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would bless now tonight. We thank you so much for First Baptist Church here. We thank you so much for Pastor and Mrs. Fritz. And I do pray now tonight that you would allow all of us to hear directly from you tonight. Tune our hearts and tune our ears now to your Spirit. And I pray that you would allow us to hear directly from you and that you would speak to us, help us to make application appropriately now in each life. And Holy Spirit, I know you will do that. I pray, Father, for us to be attentive to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Real quick, we'll be able to go through the context here just so we can be able to be reminded about it. The Bible says here, if you go to the first part of the chapter 11 here, the Bible says that word was sent to Jesus, "He whom thou lovest is sick." And of course, the person they're referencing there is speaking of Lazarus, the friend of Jesus. However, after hearing this, Jesus waited for several days. Waited before making the journey to Bethany. It's not part of the sermon tonight, but it's just interesting as a side note. How many times do we ask for God for something special in our life? Perhaps we ask for a miracle in our life, and it seems that God seems to wait. You know what I mean? Sometimes it seems that He's not on our timetable, isn't He? We wonder, God, what are You doing? What's happening in our life? And we need to be sensitive to His will, don't we? To His timing. However, if God delays, it's always for the same reason as it was here. If you read in verse number 4, towards the end of that verse, He says, "But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Father, if that's the case for a delay in my prayer, let it be. I want Jesus to be glorified. I hope that is your prayer also tonight. May we desire God to always to be exalted and glorified through our lives. But we find Jesus now, He finally arrives. But when He arrives, Lazarus has already passed. Surprisingly, now 4 days previously, Martha meets Him on the road and says, "Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother had not died." Mary comes, says the same identical words, "Lord, if Thou hast been here." The Bible says Christ groans in the Spirit. Aren't you glad that He is touched by the feeling of our infirmities, the Bible says? He groans in the Spirit, and then, knowing what He's going to do, He sees the emotion and the tears around Him, and Jesus weeps. How special is that? Then Christ shocks the crowd. "Take ye away the stone." And immediately He is met with opposition from a very unexpected source. Martha. However, the stone was eventually rolled away. And only then was the miraculous performed. Tonight I would like to make emphasis on that phrase, "Take ye away the stone." I would like to propose to you that I believe that if those that were standing around Jesus that night, if they had not obeyed Jesus and removed the stone, Lazarus would not have been raised. He's saying, "Preacher, what are you saying? You think Jesus could not have rolled the stone away?" No, I believe that He definitely could. If He can be able to raise the dead, I don't believe a stone would be any problem at all, right? But what was the significance there? I'm saying that God, though, doesn't normally work that way. He has chosen to work through human instrument. He has chosen to work through His people. He's chosen to work, believe it or not, as crazy as it may seem, through you and I. I want you to think about something here. The omnipotent hand of God. The omnipotent waited for mankind to obey. When man obeyed, the miraculous took place. But the stone had to be removed first. Often God wants to work in and through us, but sometimes there is a stone. There is a hindrance. There is an obstacle that needs to be removed first before He can do that work in us. tonight, I would like us to think about what would that stone represent in our individual life, my life, your life. God wants to work in your life. God wants to do something great in you and through you. And by the way, He must do a work in you first before He can do a work through you. Amen. A lot of us, we want God to work through us, but God says, no, I can't work through a dirty vessel. I've got to be able to do something in you. I have to be able to have surrender. I have to have yieldedness. I have to have sanctification. I want to work in you first, and then I can work through you. God wants to. But what would that stone represent in our life? I've written down a few things and maybe just a few thoughts. The Holy Spirit may make complete different application. But here's some things that I wrote down. I believe, first of all, the stone would represent labor to be performed. Labor. Those Jewish men had to roll up their sleeves, had to bend their backs, and put forth effort and to move the stone. God had to do some similar work before other miracles took place. God expected others to act in faith first. God wanted them to labor first, to move by faith first, then the miraculous. Then God stepped in. If you would think about now, before Christ's first miracle, before He turned the water into the fruit of the vine, there was pots that had to be filled, right? No labor, no miracle. The blind man, Jesus said, go wash in the pool. No labor, no obedience, no miracle. To the lame, He said, take up thy bed and walk. To the leper, go show thyself unto the priest. The list goes on and on. God expects many times us to move in faith, to believe in Him by faith, to be able to put forth some effort, and to move before He steps in and does the miraculous. God expects us to labor and to work for Him. God does not bless the lazy, does He? He does not do for us what He expects us, and especially what He has told us that we need to do for ourselves. God created us to work. Yes, even in a perfect environment. In the Garden of Eden, there was work. God gave the instruction for Adam to dress and to take care of the garden. There was work that was supposed to be involved there. But the problem is, sin entered, did it not? Satan became a terrible taskmaster. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. How many of you can testify to that? Yes. But thank God, due to fulfillment of God's promise, Jesus came, redeemed us by His blood. Now we have a new Lord, we have a new Master, and what does He say? Take my yoke upon you. Wait a second here. A yoke? No. A yoke is an instrument of work. A yoke is where it's two animals that are bound together and they're supposed to do work. Don't we have freedom in Christ? Work. Yes, we do have freedom in Christ. But we only have freedom within the confines of His will. If we go outside of the will, oh my, there's danger there. Christ gives us a yoke and a yoke to labor for Him. But He promises us a very special thing. He says His yoke is what? Easy. His burden is light. You know why? It's because with whom we are in the yoke with. Amen. The Bible says, for we are laborers together with Amen. We're laborers together with God. Yes, we can have the opportunity to labor together, to work together with Him, and to serve Him. And what a wonderful privilege to be yoked up together with Him and to be work together. But God still expects us to do our part. The sad thing is that there are some Christians that expect God to roll the stone away, perform the miracle, take care of everything, do all the details, and would you please hurry up? I can't have my schedule disrupted. Uh-oh. As I mentioned this morning, many times we stuff our pockets with all the spiritual blessings, and God comes to us and says, hey, I have something for you to do for me. And we balk at that. Oh, how we should be ashamed. Christ knew what it would cost Him. He knew about the cross. He knew the pain. He knew the beating. And worst of all, He knew that He would become sin for us. He knew what it would cost Him. But the Bible says, but for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Oh, thank God for that. We serve a God who loves us and labored for us. How can we do our less than our best for Him who gave His life for us? Take ye away the stone. What labor would God have you to do for Him? He does have an expectation for us. Or should I say an expectation of us? Remember all those verses I read this morning about the Great Commission? It says, ye shall be witnesses. You realize He didn't really give us a whole bunch of a choice? He has an expectation of us. Ye shall be witnesses. He has His own timetable. He wants to bless us. But He is waiting for us to labor. Perhaps to act in faith, to do in response to His prompting, and then the miracle takes place in our life. God can work in and through us. It was a labor. A labor. I believe the second thing that this stone would represent, not only just a labor that we could do for Him, I believe it was an obstruction that needed to be removed. I mean, that was an obvious thing. There was a problem there. God wanted to work through them, and there was something on the other side, and there was an obstacle that was in the way, and it needed to be removed. I believe these are many times are the mental blocks or the hindrances sometimes that we put in our life that need to be removed. Hindrances so we can obey. Hindrances that need to be removed so we can serve God. Interesting when God, through Jesus, said, take ye away the stone. Immediately He was met with a hindrance. Who was it? Martha. Martha had hers. He says, no, He's been dead 4 days. It's too late, Jesus. Corruption has already set in. Jesus, if you had been here, He had not died, but you were late. Jesus, it's been 4 days. The time of healing is now past. Jesus, you ruined it. Jesus, no. No, don't shame us anymore. No, Jesus, you've ruined it. Imagine. Christ's answer there in verse 40, I believe, is in form of a rebuke. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. He's saying, listen, Martha, no, I haven't ruined it now. I'm fixing to do something miraculous right now. You just need to make sure you don't ruin the opportunity. There is a miracle that's going to be coming. I'm going to want to do something through you now, and you need to make sure that you obey. Remove the obstacle in your mind, Martha. Why? because Jesus showed up. And you know, when Jesus comes, and when He shows up in a life, when He shows up in our situation, when He shows up, He changes everything. Amen. You know, many times we can try to figure things out. And sometimes we as humans, we try to manipulate and try to work things through, and we can try to factor some things in there and try to calculate a particular outcome. But you know what? When Jesus shows up, He changes everything. All kinds of obstacles, though, need to be removed. Many obstacles can be seen even in the form of excuses. Excuses why we cannot serve God. Do you know, if you're looking for an excuse, Satan would love to supply. You don't have to look hard. Satan will whisper in your ear, now you can't do this or you can't do that. You're hindered here. You have no ability here. Do you know what? All of us are sinners. All of us are hindered. All of us are flawed. But you know what? God can do the miraculous through our life. If we allow Him to do a work in our life, God can be able to do it. All He needs is for us to surrender and to yield to Him in faith. We can go right down through all the different excuses in Scripture. Several of the prophets and the judges and disciples. I can't serve God. Why? Because of something in my life. But God can do a wonderful work. But He's waiting for us to remove the obstacles. We get that many times even on the mission field with Africa. I've had people tell us, no, we can't go into that particular area. We can't go into that country. Even Africa in general, there's a problem. And we just need to wait for it to be stable. We need to wait until maybe there's a better infrastructure. We need to wait until there's a better government and so forth. We may not have the privilege to wait that long. How many of you can remember the person that reached you with the gospel? Amen. I'm sure you're glad that person didn't wait. I'm sure you're glad that that person wasn't apathetic. I'm sure you're glad that person was persistent, perhaps, in your life and tried to encourage you and tried to help you and would be able to follow up. And aren't you glad that that person did not give up on you? Oh, how we need to remove the obstacles. Some say they're too old to serve God. Oh my, no. We need everybody. Especially in this day, all hands on deck, amen. We need everyone to serve. Some are too young, they think. What did Paul say to Timothy? Let no man despise thy youth. Some people believe they're too unskilled. Oh, no. You know what? If the Holy Spirit got a hold of you, let me tell you what, you can do some great things for God. Now, don't forget the disciples. They were thought of as unlearned and ignorant men. But they marveled at their wisdom and their boldness. Why? What caused the difference? They had been with Jesus. And tell me, you've spent some time with Jesus. You spent some time in His Word. You spent time in His church, listening to your pastor, following through all the things that God has commanded you. Let me tell you, you've been with Jesus, and there can be some great things in through your life. And now you may not think you're skilled, you may not think you're trained, but God can be able to do something great in your life if you will let Him. Remove the obstacle. You think of those Jewish men that rolled the stone away. It didn't matter if they were rich or poor. It didn't matter if they were talented or not. It didn't matter if they were energetic or not. There was a stone to be removed. God wants it removed, and we're going to do it. Amen. Some people have an obstacle of unbelief. I just don't know if I can serve. I don't think God can be able to use me. Oh, let me caution you. God can. All it takes is a heart that surrendered. Let me tell you, our work there in Africa, it's always been a challenge to me as I see some of our national Christians there. National Christians, by the way, who have nothing. No, not what you're thinking. Truly have nothing. But of what they do have, they tithe. Sometimes our offerings are a little bit unique. We get vegetables, we get corn. Sometimes we get a chicken. They not only they tithe, they help their pastor. They give to Faith Promise missions. Oh yeah, we preach that there. We don't just preach that here in America. We preach it there. Amen. They will try to make sure that their national missionaries, that they're going on and they're serving. And I tell you what, when I see that and I see God working in their midst, it shakes me up and it challenges me. And sometimes when I come back now to America, it stirs me so much. And you have to forgive me. Sometimes I can get very anxious. I want to be able to come to some of our churches in America who have the ability, who have the wherewithal, who have good members in their church, who have the capacity to do. And I want to go and say, please, will you help us? Please, can you see the need? Please, can you be involved? Can you be able to be active in your church? Can you see what the need is, not just here, but around the world? Oh, let me tell you, if we could be able to remove the obstacles, remove the excuses, remove those things in our lives, it's amazing what God can be able to do through us. Those things have to be removed. Oh, let me tell you, young people, will you consider God working in your life? Will you consider missions? Consider God being able to be calling you in your life. Will you consider it? Let these obstacles get out of the way. What could it be in our life? Could it be apathy? Could it be selfishness? Could it be idleness? Could it be fear? I don't know. But all I know is that the Master has told us something to do. Take ye away the stone. We need to remove the hindrances, remove the obstacles, remove the excuses out of our life. Get ready to perform a labor for Him. Lastly, quickly. Not only does it represent labor, represents an obstacle, it also represents a command to be obeyed. If we could kind of take a snapshot and remove the reality of that time period right then and be able to see into the spirit world while Christ was standing there. And we could see the true reality is the spirit world out there. The angels that were there standing by, ready to perform, ready to help, anything at the word of God, they would be willing to obey. Christ says, take ye the stone. Take ye away the stone. And I believe the angels had to be held back on that. God spoke. We obey. They had to hold back and say, wait a second. Angels, no, stand back. We're waiting on mankind to obey. Immediately, Martha forms a committee immediately and tries to decide whether she's going to obey God or not. Uh-oh. God spoke, and it should be an immediate yes. You see, Lazarus was waiting to be resurrected. But there was a problem. A stone was in the way. He couldn't see, nor could he hear Jesus. Think about it. God's presence was there. God's provision was there. God's power was there. But the stone wasn't moving. God was waiting on His people to obey. Could I link this now to the sermon this morning about the Great Commission? The command. There is a world waiting to be converted. But there's a stone in the way. They cannot see Jesus. They cannot hear His voice until we help remove the obstacles from them from hearing the gospel. It could be false teaching. It could be their wicked culture. It could be Nebanism. It could be a lot of different things. But God has sent us to this world, commanded us to remove the stone so God can work through us to reach someone on the other side. Let's labor together for the cause of the lost around the world. God's missionaries are here. Amen. Let's do all we can to make sure that they are sent. And sent properly. There's souls in our area, we know. We know their names, we know their faces. In a town such as ours here, in the surrounding towns, we know who they are. May God help us to have the compassion to reach them. May God help us to remove any obstacles that we may have, any excuses that we may have why we cannot obey His voice. And let's labor together to obey the command of Christ. He's commanded for us to go into the world. He's commanded us to go into the highways and hedges. Christ is waiting on us, not we on Him. He's waiting on us. Let's not make Him wait any longer. What does God want to do in your life? Let's not think corporately of the church. Let's not think of somebody else's family. Let's not think of the missionary families that are here. Let's think about ourselves. What does God want me to do? Ask ourselves that question. What could God be waiting on me for? Let's remove the obstacles and the hindrances and let's obey. Going forth in faith, allowing God to bring in the harvest and do the miraculous for His honor and glory. Remove the stone. Our Heavenly Father,